We're up to action words. The bit was, and the St. Francis lie, but Mark said he couldn't spell it, so we'll talk about that in a minute. There are two aspects to what I want to say, and we might immediately think that faith in action words, we're talking about words that we'll be talking about the words. And that's where I want to start. And it says this: it's by faith, not here, taken up, he was a person known, pleased. God, that God exists and that he rewards those. Those Christians, words of God, that tell us so loved the world. Believes in him will not have everlasting life. Was a life changing experience. Oh, right, okay. I wouldn't like you to lose me. Is this on? Okay. Do we want me to switch this other thing off? Okay. So, trusting in those words that God has spoken, that we saw in the Bible, we had a life-changing experience. But it's an ongoing life-changing experience. It doesn't just start and end when we put our trust in him. And it says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. And he did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And Moses is saying to the Israelites, they had to live every day by faith in the word of God. And Jesus quotes this verse when he's tempted in the wilderness. How much faith do we have in every word that comes from the Lord? How much faith? Is my faith in action when I'm feeling like rubbish? I'm feeling a failure, and God says, you're precious, and you're honored, and I love you. Is my faith in action when I'm fearful, and God says, don't be afraid, for I'm with you? Is my faith in action when my circumstances are adverse, and the outlook is real poor, and God says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will guard your hearts as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, faith doesn't end when we first believe that Jesus has died for us. That's when it starts. And we learn to live every day by the word of God. That's faith in action, in words. 2 Corinthians 12 says this: three times I begged the Lord to take it away. This is Paul with his thorn in the flesh. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Is this the way I live? Convinced that God is true to his word. I believed him in the beginning, but do I believe his word every day? Do I take what he's saying to me and hold on to it every day? There was an old hymn, and in fact, in that last prayer to the Lord that we just sang, it had the line in it, you know, we're standing on the promises of God. Is that the way you live every day, standing on the promises that are in his word? You see, if I'm not convinced about what God is saying in his word, how on earth can I convince anybody else? If I am not living that way, if they don't look at my life, those who don't know the Lord, and see that it works for me, why should they believe that it will work for them? Why should they believe? How much do you read God's word? How much do you know it? How much faith do you have in it every day on a daily basis? It's only what I've received from the Lord. Sorry, I'm just chucking them because I can't fiddle with this. It's only as what I've received from the Lord that I can pass on to others. How can I give empty words out? So faith in the word of God is vital if you are going to share it with others. You need to be able to stand on it. What we believe is where we start. Then what we say. When I saw the title of today's talk, Lee had given some titles, and mine was Faith in Action, Words, and the St. Francis Lie. I looked at it and I thought, what the heck is the St. Francis Lie? I had absolutely no idea. So I Google things. You find out all kinds on Google. Well, he didn't mention the St. Francis Lie. I read up plenty about St. Francis of Assisi and how he lived and all of that kind of thing. And I couldn't unearth see what relevance this that I was reading had. But so I went to Lee. Who had put it there, so I thought, well, he'll obviously know what it is. And it's probably one of these things they tell you in college. They give you all kinds of stuff. And St. Francis was supposed to have said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Now, there is a dispute about whether he said it at all or who he said it to or whatever. But it's thought that he said it to monks who were drunks. That rhymes, doesn't it? I was thinking about dear old Joan. She likes that Buckfast Abbey tonic wine. I thought the monks made that. They were probably all drinking it along the way. And so he was trying to tell them, basically, your life's got to measure up with what you're saying. You can't be drunks going round and telling people how to live and what to do. But others took a hold of those words and made it an excuse not to say anything. Well, if I live well, people will automatically see I don't need to speak out at all. Well, as a lot of you already know, the new hairstyle comes from a wig shop. And out of a need to cover up my balding head and the growth that I have on it. It's not hair growth, which is unfortunate, but there you go. I've been struggling with that for 18 months or so, and now it's got to be removed. And when they've seen it, they said that he doesn't think it's cancerous at this point. It's probably precancerous and it has to go. So they'll know when they test it, but they don't know just yet. So it was a hat or a wig, and I don't do hats. I just don't do hats. So the reason I'm telling you this is because on Tuesday, of course, it's been a talking point. I know it is a difference, and so I don't get away with it with anybody that I haven't seen for a while. It's got to be a talking point. And so one of the mums was talking to me about it, and I was telling her why I did it. I'm not making fashion statements here. But I was telling her, you know, about, well, I've got this growth, precancerous, blah, de blah. And she said to me, I can't believe your attitude. I can't believe you're so chilled about it. Because whenever you use the term cancer, people freak out, or a lot of people freak out. And she said, I can't believe the way you're living. Now, I could have said nothing. Because I'm thinking, well, I'm doing the don't be anxious bit, because she's obviously picked that up. But unless I tell her, it's because God has given me such a peace in my heart. How does she know? She just goes away. I'm thinking one of those superhumans. Well, I'm not. And I wanted her to know that God is so good in this, and God makes the difference. People are always looking at us, and they're looking and watching how we react in situations and circumstances that we face. And we need to tell them what God has done. We need to speak. You can't just live it out. You've got to speak out also. When Jesus met the woman at the well, she was radically changed. In an instant, she was changed. She was probably the talk of the town. She'd had five husbands. The bloke she was living with wasn't one of them. And she met Jesus. And he spoke to her. He didn't ignore her like so many others did. He spoke to her, and she believed him. She took a hold of what he said to her. And then she went into the town and she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And it says in John chapter 4 these words. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. She was changed. And her words were powerfully effective. As she went back into that town, because the change had been radical in her, and people saw that, then she was powerfully effective with her words. You know, you don't need to explain Jesus to people. You just need to introduce him. And she introduced Jesus to the people in her village. If there's no change in your life, your words are going to be ineffective at best and detrimental to the gospel at worst. I wonder how many religious people down the years have done the Lord a great injustice by the way they've behaved. They might have said the right things, and it includes priests and vicars and youth leaders and scout masters and all of these people who have so many times said the right things, but then been part of abuse. How many people in our lives have just given a bad example? It's not as extreme as abuse, but nonetheless, it's not a good example to follow. You know, if there's no change in our life, our words will be ineffective. But also, they can do God no justice at all. In Acts chapter 19, it says this. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them and overpowered them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. And the story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and to Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. A solemn fear fell on people. We need to represent our Lord real well in our lives as we trust in him. A number of them became believers and confessed their sinful practices, burned their books and all of this. And the message of the Lord spread widely, and it had a powerful effect. It had a powerful effect because change was seen. Change was seen in people's lives. So if you want your words to be effective when you're speaking to others, there needs to be a life change. We need to be mirroring what Jesus has said in our lives, in everyday situations, in the things that we face, in the way that we are, in the attitudes that we hold. If you want to move in power, the sons of Sceva wanted to move in power, but their lives didn't measure up. And if you want to move in power in the name of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, your life has to measure up to the words you say, or they will be ineffective. Bryn Jones said, the power in the name of Jesus on our lips is in keeping with the measure to which his nature is expressed in our lives. I want to say that again. The power in the name of Jesus on our lips is in keeping with the measure to which his nature is expressed in our lives. If we want to see great things happen, if we want to move in the power and authority of God, we need to mirror him in our lives. If you want your words to be effective, get rid of the rubbish in your life. Get rid of the wrong attitudes, the poor relationships, the fears, the vain imaginings. Have faith in his word. Have faith in what he said, and let it change you. Let it change you. It's so important. It's Father's Day. I was shopping the other day, and there was a little family out, and the father was shouting at his children. He was effing and blinding and calling them all sorts. And I just thought, how sad. Listen to what those little children are hearing. What are they going to be like? What kind of an example is that? We are an example in our homes. Fathers, be the example that God wants you to be in your home. Mirror Jesus to your children. It will always stick with them. You know, when you look back on your own fathers, you know the good things that blessed you. You know the things that hurt you about them. And your children and my children are the same. They're looking at, do our words measure up with our life? My dad used to say to us, you can do anything if you try. Now, he didn't just tell us that we could do that. He did it himself. He tried his hand at anything and did everything. You've got to live what the words you say. It's got to change. Your words can blister, or they can bless. They can build up, or they can tear down. They can encourage, or they can discourage. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? What's coming out on a daily basis? Are you confessing that God is there for you? That you're standing on his promises? It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what you see around. It doesn't matter how poor things are in your situation. Your Lord has said, fear not, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let your words be powerfully effective, because they come out of love for God and out of such a faith in his word that is changing your life. And it says this in Colossians chapter 3. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as the representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Whatever you do or say, do it giving thanks to him as his representative to the world, to your family, to the people you meet every day. Faith in action, in word. Be that word in your own life and say those things to others that people believe, because when they look at you, they see that it's made a difference in your life too. Amen.